Morning, everyone. Today's Daf is Zayin Zayin. We are on page 76 in Shabbos. We're beginning today the 8th parak of Shabbos, continuation of what we started yesterday, and that is the Shiurim of Hotza'ah. As we learned already from the beginning of the Masechta, this was the first topic that we covered in Masechta Shabbos. As the Malacha on Shabbos calls it a Hotza'ah, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos from one domain to another. You can't carry from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabbim. You can't carry from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yachid, nor can you carry Dalamus in a Rishus Harabim. The first mission introduces us to this idea, and the first 8 blot of the Masechta introduced us to this idea, and now we are coming back to the Malacha of Hotzah. Now, the truth of the matter is that this is a residual of the 7th parak of Shabbos. The last topic that we covered within the 7th parak of Shabbos is the Malacha of Hotzah, and we're going over Shiurim. We're going over amounts and measurements. Based on what the item actually is, so the Torah gives us a certain amount in terms of how much to carry in order to be chayv. Now, I said the Torah gives us an amount. You're not going to find any shear in the Torah itself, so we can assume that halacha l'moshe misina, this is part of the oral tradition. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkah says in the beginning, daf hey, daf vav, somewhere around there, the Gemara there says that, maybe daf zayin. Anyway, the Gemara there says that all shiurim, all measurements that are given are halacha l'moshe misinai. So I would assume that this falls under that category as well, that these shiurim that are presented us are halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, we're going to speak in very objective natures, meaning that there's an objective shiur for all these items. There is an opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we saw yesterday, which we're going to revisit again today very briefly. And Rabbi Shimon says that, well, yes or no, meaning there may be an objective shiur, but if there's a particular person who is interested even less than the quote unquote the regular shear. So then Rabbi Shimon says that he's going to be chayav as well. So Rabbi Shimon speaks to a more subjective nature to the shiurim, but that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, not necessarily accepted. But and we'll revisit his position very briefly over the course of today. We were talking yesterday about animal food, right? The Mishnah that we did yesterday, I involved, dealt with food of an animal. In other words, if you're going to carry on Shabbos, it's got to be food of an animal that matches a particular animal. So we talked yesterday about Tevin and Eitzah and Amir and different types of vegetation that is exclusively for animals. As we start the 8th parak, now we're going to be talking about foods that are designated for humans, human consumption. Now, before we start with the Mishnah, I'll just give you the simplest rule, the most basic rule. And that is for carrying on Shabbos for a food that's eaten by a human, so the shear is a grogaris, it's going to be the size of a dried fig. Perhaps you've heard that shear before, because going on Yom Kippur, to be chayv on Yom Kippur, the amount that you have to eat, which satisfies you, is the shear of a grogaris, a dried fig. So also over here as well, the shear is going to be a grogaris when it talks about food. But that's just generally food. As you'll see in our Mishnah, there are going to be a couple of exceptions to this rule of a grogaris. Just one other point before we begin the actual Mishnah inside itself. What if you take out less than a shear? So, right? So in other words, in any one of these items that we're going to be discussing. So let's say food. Let's say instead of taking out a grogaris in Shabbos, you carry half a grogaris. So this is what's called chatzi shir, half of a shir. So is that an isser? Is that an isser in a Torah? Is that a Torah violation? So, so some of the Rishonim say. I'm sorry. I was just going to my memory bank. The Hagos Hashri says that yeah, you're going to be chayv even for a chatzi shir, even for a half a shir. Why? Because the Gemara in Yuma tells us chatzi shir is also in a Torah. Because if I have less than a shir, so that's still going to be a Torah prohibition. So that is the opinion of the Hagos Hashri. Why could you argue with that position? It's very simple. You could argue with that position because chatzi shir asam in a Torah, that's for isuri achila. That's for things that are eaten and consumed. But we're not talking about isuri achila over here. We're talking about carrying on Shabbos. So perhaps over here, if I carry less than a shir, it won't be isuri min haTorah. Can't imagine that it's mutter. We're not going to say that it's mutter. And again, according to the Hagos Hashri, it's an isur min haTorah. But if you would like to argue on his position, you could say that chatzi shir is isur min haTorah only by isuri achila, and this is not isuri achila. This is carrying on Shabbos. Okay. With all that stated, now we begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, And we start the eighth parak. So you carry wine on Shabbos. So how much wine do you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayv mezigas kos, the dilution? We talk about dilution very often. Back in the good old days, wine was a very thick substance. It was almost like a syrup. And the way that wine was consumed back in the good old days is that you pour the wine into a cup and then you dilute it with water. In fact, the ratio was 1 to 3. 1 part wine, 3 parts water. So you can imagine that was a very thick syrup. For those of you who remember your days in Israel, so it's like petel. So for those who this speaks to. So so how much wine do I need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayv? So kedei mezigas kos, enough for the purposes of dilution. We'll be more specific in terms of what that means as we go through the Gemara. Chalav, what about milk kedei gemia? The amount of that it would take to swallow a little bit of milk. I know that doesn't sound like much of a precise shear. We'll try to give a better understanding of that a little bit later on. Dvash, how about honey? Kidilitin alakasis. Now again, these are all foods, right? Wine, milk, and honey are all foods. But first of all, they're liquids. They're not solids. And two, is that because they are significant even for less than the quote-unquote the regular shear. What is the regular shear? The regular shear is the revius of a log, which is a quarter of a log, which is approximately 4 ounces, approximately. So because they are significant, even when they're less than a quote-unquote regular shear, so therefore you're going to be chayv if you carry it out. Honey you put right on the wound. Right? Rashi over here describes that, especially when the animals are saddled, and the harness rubs up against their skin. So honey, it turns into a great salve that is applied to a wound. So therefore, when we're talking about honey, so how much honey do you have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayiv? Enough to put on the wound. Shemen, what about oil? Kedei lasso chever katan, enough to apply to a small limb. Maim, kedei lasso bamas a kilor. Now water, enough water to apply to the kilor. Kilor, some sort of eye application. Okay, it's basically like an ointment that you put to the eye, and only a little bit of water, so therefore that goes, so the amount that you would of water that you need to carry in Shabbos in order to be chayv would be enough to put onto this eye applicator. Vishar kol amashkim berevius, v'chol ha-shofchim berevius. And then the Mishnah says, but look, these are the exceptions. What's the rule? The rule is a revius. Meaning whenever you talk about any liquid, the amount that you'd have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayv is going to be a revius, which is a quarter of a log, which is, again, approximately 4 ounces. So it says the Mishnah. Now that's true by all other liquids, and it's true by shofchin as well. What does shofchin mean? So Rashi explains, maim sruchin, meaning it's dirty, disgusting water. Water that you used already. Let's say you washed your hands. And remember, no indoor plumbing. So in other words, when you washed your hands in your house, so you had a bowl to collect the water. So that is shfuchim, water that you plan on just dumping out eventually sometime later today. So how much of that do you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayv? So you need to carry a revius. So the general rule is that for all liquids, it's a revius. The exceptions are wine, milk, oil, and honey. These are the exceptions where the shear is going to be smaller. And the reason why it's going to be smaller is because these liquids have a certain utility, a certain purpose, even when it's less than a revius. And then the Mishnah ends off with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Omer kulam berevius. Rabbi Shimon says, no, all liquids, including wine, oil, honey, and milk, all liquids, the shear is going to be revius. So, says Rabbi Shimon, what are you going to do with everything we just learned in the Mishnah? Does he ignore it? So Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't ignore it. V'lo nem rekol ashirim halalu alalamatzniyehem. But here's what I'm going to tell you, says Rabbi Shimon. All these exceptions that we just spoke about in our Mishnah, that's not for the common person. For the common person, you need to take out a revius of milk, oil, wine, or honey. That's for the regular person. What about for the person who is, as I described yesterday, a bit of an oddball, right? I don't mean that at all in a mean way. Meaning, but he's an outlier. He's just a strange individual. Where for him, milk is significant even if it's less than a revius. And wine is significant even if it's less than a revius. So Rabbi Shimon says is that for the matzniyehem, for the outlier, for the person who is quote-unquote not common, but he has an uncommon like for milk, oil, wine, or honey, so then the shear is going to be reduced. And it will be, the person will be chayv karban chatas even if he carries out less than a revius. Well, how much less is he going to have to, how much less than a revius are we talking about? Rabbi Shimon says, that's where all these four exceptions come into play. For wine, it's going to be the kedei meziga. For milk, it's going to be kedei gemia. For honey, it's going to be to put on the wound. In other words, even for Rabbi Shimon, who says that there's a subjective nature to carrying on Shabbos, but there's going to be a threshold. There has to be a minimum threshold. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is what's the minimum threshold for the people who are a little bit on the out, meaning those outliers who like milk, oil, wine, or honey, just a little bit more. Okay, good? So in other words, basically, let's just review. We have a Mishnah which talks about liquids and how much you need to carry to be chayav on Shabbos. And essentially, we have two opinions in the Mishnah. We have the Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakhama says that generally it's a revius, except for these four liquids. Oil, wine, honey, and milk. Where these liquids, it's going to be less. Why? Because they're significant even when it's less than a revius. Rabbi Shimon says, no. The standard shear is always going to be a revius, except for the person who is more particular about these liquids where the shear can be even reduced, further reduced. The Gemara starts off, Tanaka de Mezigas, Kos Yafe. Okay, now we start with the dilution of wine. So our Mishnah doesn't really give us a lot of information. In fact, the Mishnah says regarding wine, how much wine do I need to carry on Shabbos in order to be Chayev? Kedei Mezigas Kos. That's all we got from the Mishnah. So that doesn't give us a lot to work with, meaning, okay, we know the amount of wine for dilution, for the purposes of dilution. But what is that? So we start with a brice, and the brice says, Kedei Mezigas Kos Yafe. Okay, good. So the brice gives us one more word to help us understand how much wine we're talking about, a nice cup. Good. My Kos Yafe. But even with that, though, the Gemara still needs further, more information. Further development. So the Gemara says, "My kos yafe koshal bracha." We're talking about the koshal bracha. Now, the koshal bracha. It's funny. You could have said at this point in time in the Gemara, "What is the koshal bracha?" It means any time that you're doing a mitzvah over a cup. So, for example, a cup of wine. We're talking about. So, for example, kiddush. So, for example, havdalah. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't give havdalah as an example, and Rashi does not give kiddush as an example. What does Rashi use as the example? The cup of birchas hamazon. Cup of wine over birchas hamazon. Benching should be said over a cup of wine. Right? It's a often, I don't want to say ignored halacha, but the Gemara is never particularly clear about when you need a cup of wine for benching. Benching by yourself, do you need a cup of wine? How about with a zimun? How about with a minyan? The Gemara is never particularly clear. Tosfos and Psachim, right, in the 10th Perek. So Tosfos over there gives a couple of positions, a couple of opinions, in terms of when you need a cup of wine for benching. My observation is that I'd say most of the time, only when people have a minyan do they have a cup of wine for benching. But the halacha is that for three also it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch that you should have a cup of wine, and some are even of the opinion even by yourself you should have a cup of wine over benching. Either way, anyway, Rashi over here says Koshal Bracha Birchas Hamazon Shehitzrichu Chachamim Liyafoso, meaning we want to beautify benching. No, we the Chachamim. So what do the Chachamim do? So basically, what they did is that to accentuate your benching, you bench over a cup of wine. Good. And kedamina bebrachos itov hadach v'shitifa chayom malei. In fact, the Gemara brachos in 7th parak of brachos goes over what is necessary for that specific cup of wine. Let's see if we can remember the Gemara well. The Gemara over there talks about 10 requirements for the cup, right? You remember this? The Gemara there talks about 10 requirements for a cup, and then the Gemara brings down that we could reduce the 10 down to 4. There are 4 essential requirements of the cup. Rashi over here quotes, Etor, the crowning of the cup. Right? Remember this? The crowning of the cup? The Gemara over there had a couple of opinions of what exactly the crowning of the cup meant. One of the Amoraim crowned his cup with students, meaning had students around him as he was making a birchas hamazon over a cup of wine. Anyway, ituf means you wrap yourself up. You put on a special head dressing when you bench. Some have the minhag to put a hat on when they bench, right, to satisfy this requirement of ituf. Anyway, hadacha shtifa chayumalei, rinsing of the cup, right, chayumalei, right. Maybe both the inside and the outside. Anyway, but the point being is that for a cup of wine, that the kosher bracha is a cup of, that you have to bench over a cup of wine. And the point now that Gemara is making is that that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah says that when you carry on Shabbos and you carry out some wine, wine to be diluted, we're talking about enough so that it can be diluted so I could bench over this cup of wine. Now, how much are we talking about? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Kosher Bracha Tzarech Shebo Rova Revius, Kidei Shim Zigenu V'yamod Al Revius. So the Gemara here finally gives us a shear, and the shear is that, look, here's where we need to arrive at. We need to get to a Revius. A Revius is a quarter of a log. Okay, so a quarter of a log is approximately 4 ounces, about, thereabouts. So in order, let's just deal with the shear of the Gemara. A quarter of a log. I need to get to Revius. So, a little bit of math for today. I need to get to a quarter of a log. I need, as we're going to learn in just a moment, the ratio of dilution is one part wine, three parts water. So if I need to get to a quarter of a log, so how much of undiluted wine do I need? A quarter of a quarter. Right? Quarter of a quarter. Or if you like, if you prefer, a 16th. If I have a quarter of undiluted wine, and I carry that out on Shabbos, I would be chayiv. This is the opinion of Rav Nachman, who quotes the name of Rava Baravua, and the Gemara is going to corroborate. I'm a Rava Afanamitanina. Rava says, I learned the same thing as well. Hamotzi ayin kedei mezigas kos. Because look, Rava says, let's follow the thread. Where our Mishnah says kedei mezigas kos. V'tini ala kedei mezigas kos yafe. And on that we have the Braisa that says a kos yafe. Uktani seva v'shar kol hamashkim revius. And the rest of the liquids are going to be a revius. So in other words, basically, Rava says, let's put all that information together. I know that the general shear of mashke is a revius. I know that wine gets diluted. I know the dilution ratio is 1:3. So therefore, when I ask you how much undiluted wine do I need to take out, it's going to be a quarter of a quarter. A quarter of a revius of a log is going to yield a revius of diluted wine. So therefore, Rava says that if you follow the train of thought from the Mishnah to the Braisa, so you arrive at that very same conclusion as well. The Rava Latame, Da'amar Rava Kochamar Delo Dari Al Chad Tlas Maya Lav Chamaru. Rava says that when I'm diluting, so if I do not put in three parts water to the one part wine, it is not chamer, that's not wine. So in other words, the proper dilution ratio is going to be 3:1. Amar Abai Shechuvas Medavar. So Abai says to his chavrusa Rava, look, two things bother me about your position. Number one, chada did not. Hamazuk shnei chalke mayin ve'echa yayin min hayayin ashironi. First, says Abaye, let's remember a Mishnah Nida together. What has the Mishnah Nida taught us? Mishnah Nida teaches us that there are five shades of red that make a woman a Nida. Meaning that when a woman has a discharge by itself is doesn't make her a Nida. It has to be a discharge of dam. It has to be blood. And more specifically, it has to be red blood. And even more specifically, there are only five shades of blood that make a woman tame. We have, over the course of years, lost our prowess, our expertise of knowing what exactly these five shades of red are. So basically, we look at all red and we say that all red is the same. However, according to the Ikar Halacha, according to the Halacha from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, it's only five shades of red and no other reds which make a woman a Nida, Tame Nida. Now, one of those shades of red is the shade of red of diluted wine. And the Mishnah in Nida over there says, what's the dilution ratio? It's a ratio of 2:1. Two parts water to one part wine. So Abaye says to Rava, how can you tell me that the dilution ratio of wine to water is 3:1? Sorry, 1:3, right, wine to water, 1:3, when the Mishnah Nida says it's not 1:3, but rather 1:2. That's question number one, says Abai to Rava. Question number two, V'od, Mayim Bekadim Mitzdarfin, and Abai says to Rava, again, let's think about now what you're saying. You're saying that I take a quarter of a quarter log of wine, of the undiluted, the raw wine, a 16th of a log, and I carry it out on Shabbos, I'm going to be chayiv. Why? So you, Rava, want to argue because when I dilute it, when I put in the three parts water, so now it's going to be a revius. Okay, but right now, what is it? It's just a 16th of a log. So in other words, the water's home in your jug, and it's and I'm going to dilute it, and right now you want to tell me, because it has the potential to be diluted, so right now I should be chai for carrying it? Self-close-off, we're all said and done. Right now, it's only a 16th of a log. It's not a quarter of a log. So how can you tell me you're going to be chai for carrying it right now? These are the two questions of Abai against Rava. So Amalei Rava had to come Shechal Kemayim Vechad Yayim Nashironi. So Rava says, let me take your two questions and let's go step by step. Number one, the Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah in Nida says Rava does not bother me at all. Why? Because there are two things that we could say about that Mishnah Nida. Number one, the Mishnah Nida doesn't point to any particular wine. The Mishnah Nida says that how are you going to find the red, the shade of red that makes a woman anida? What you're going to do is you're going to dilute one part wine to two parts water. If you read that Mishnah carefully there, anida, it doesn't talk about any wine in per se. The Mishnah over there specifically points to Yayin HaShironi, Shironi wine. Yayin HaShironi, so Lachod de Rafe. It could be that the Shironi wine is not as potent. It's not as strong as quote unquote regular wine. And so therefore the dilution ratio of Yayin Shironi is going to be 2-1. But we're talking about generically, and generic wine requires a 3-1 ratio. That's first of all what I'll do with the Mishnah in Nida. Inami also Mishum Chazusa. And then we'll also make another point regarding that Mishnah Nida. That Mishnah Nida is not talking about wine to drink. That Mishnah Nida is just telling us, how do you know, how are you going to find the correct hue, the correct shade of red that would make a woman anida? So there, we're only mixing over there, not to drink, we're mixing in order to get a correct shade. So perhaps the Mishnah over there is not at all talking about what is a normal ratio of wine to water in order to drink. It's just for the purposes of appearance. So in order to get that perfect shade of red that makes a woman anida, it's going to be a 1-2 ratio. But we're talking about drinking the wine, and drinking the wine you need 1-3. Okay, good. So those are two points that we could make regarding that Mishnah Nida. So Rav says that Mishnah Nida doesn't bother me at all. That's number one. Aval taima by tfe. But in other words, if you want to drink it, if you want to taste it, you need more water. Udik amart mayim mikad mitstarfin. And now let's go to your point number two. What was your second point, Abaye? That, well, the water's not yet been added to this very thick wine, this undiluted wine. And how in the world can you tell me that you're going to be chai for carrying it out when it's not yet diluted? So Rava says, look. Right. Well, yeah, basically intent. Meaning, look. Over here, we're talking about the malach of Hotzah. Carrying on Shabbos. And what's the basic guideline? Is that once it becomes significant, you're going to be chai for carrying it on Shabbos. When I have a 16th of a log, a quarter of a quarter of undiluted wine, it is now significant. Granted that I'm not going to drink it until I dilute it, but fine. But right now, it is significant. Yes, we're going to have to add water to drink, but right now it's significant. I'm going to start filling in Shabbos. Me did the chashev be'inan. V'hanami ha-chashev. Right now it is significant. And so therefore, that's why you're going to be chai for carrying it on Shabbos, even though you haven't yet diluted it. Good? These are Rava's two counterpoints to Abaye's two questions. And to that, Rava basically holds his ground. That the normal dilution ratio of wine to water is 1-3. One part wine, three parts water. And our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that when you carry undiluted wine in Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv, the way Rava understands that our Mishnah is that it is going to be a revius of a revius. A quarter of a quarter, which is a 16th. If you carry a 16th of log on Shabbos, of wine, of undiluted wine, you're going to be chayiv. Adkan. That is the opinion of Rava. Also the opinion of Rav Nachman. Okay. Tana. We learned in a Tosefta. Yavesh Bikizayas Divrei Rabbi Nasan. Now, what if the wine congeals so much that it becomes a solid? Liquid congeals and becomes a solid. So we learned in a brisa that according to Rabbi Nassan, what's now going to be the shear? It's going to be the shear of a kazayas. I was wondering the same thing as well. What do you do with it once the wine becomes congealed into a solid? The Gemara does not discuss that, and I was curious myself. Yavish b'kazayis divrei Rabbi Nassan. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Davar Echad. So basically now, what are we saying? Well, it sounds like what we're saying is that a revius liquid, when congealed, will become a kazayis of solid. That sounds like now the conversion of liquid to solid. A revius, which is about approximately 4 ounces, when congealed and turned into a solid, will turn into one kezias. Now, Rav Yosef says that if you look at all the Tanaim throughout the Mishnah and the Braisos, you're going to find Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Davar Echad, they say the same thing. Now, I've told you in the past, this is usually the job of Abaye. Abaye is the one that strings together Tanaim, and over here this is done by Rav Yosef. What's interesting is that in our Gemara, Abaye is the one who's going to challenge this alignment of Tanayim. But they go to the same yeshiva, Rav Yosef and Abaye, right? Abaye was a student of Rav Yosef, so, in other words, it's the same Derech HaLimud, if you will. So, Rav Yosef says, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Davar Echad, Rabbi Nassan, Hadamar, and Alok. Rabbi Nassan, we just learned that if I take a kazayis of solid, it converts into a revius of liquid. Good. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Detanya. So the Gemara here presents us the following brisa. Now just let me give a little bit of introduction before we begin with this brisa. Okay. Two words of introduction. First of all, we're about to learn a Mishnah in Adios. Okay, this may not be the actual Mishnah itself, it may be because the Mishnah Adios doesn't actually have the opinion of Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, so maybe a brisa that basically is a takeoff of that Mishnah Adios. Okay, either way. In other words, but right now we're learning a Mishnah Adios. What's a Mishnah Adios? So as the name of the Masechta indicates, we didn't learn the Masechta of Adios in the Daf Yomi. We skipped it. When we got to the end of Nezikin, remember this? It's a long time ago. When we got to the end of Nezikin, so after the last Gemara, we then moved straight to Kachim. We didn't finish the Mishnayos at the end of Nezikin, which is kind of a shame, because we missed Adios, we missed Avos. I think that's it. Right? Any other Masechtas that we... No. So we missed Avos and we missed Adios. Adios is testimony that was given, meaning it's a series of Mishnayos that say, a Tana stands up and says, I remember, I recall, and he gives first-hand testimony of what he saw actually took place. So in other words, real halacha lamasa. This is not only do we argue about this, it wasn't just in the base medrash, but this is what I actually saw transpire. Or this is what I heard from so-and-so. So it was testimony that was given. The Gemara elsewhere says that the Masechta Adios is called Bechirta. It's choice Mishnayos. So Adios is a fascinating little Masechta. It's really difficult because it jumps from topic to topic. So in other words, to learn Masechta Adios, you really need to be fluent in so many different areas in Halacha, just to cover the Mishnayos of Adios. It's a difficult Masechta, but it's really important. And of course, we also skip Pirkei Avos as well, which is certainly a shame in terms of the Daf Yomi. Okay, but in general, I'm a believer in Daf Yomi, so I don't have to question my credentials about how I feel about Daf Yomi. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah Adios is going to now discuss the following. We're going to be talking about Tumas Nevela. Right, when an animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so first of all, you can't eat the animal, right? That's number one, it's an isur achila. And two, now the animal gives off tuma. The animal is the source of tuma, it's an avatuma. And so therefore, that if you either touch or carry the animal, you will become tame. But what part of the animal only the meat of the animal. Meaning bones of an animal did not give off tumah. It is only specific to the meat of the animal, the basar of the animal. Blood from an animal does not give off tumah. Okay, now what about this? What about blood that's congealed? Congealed blood. Does that have the status of basar? This is subject to a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Let's see the Mishnah together inside. Now, this is the Mishnah in Adios.
It's considered solid or liquid.
Basically, yeah. So, Ditanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shishadvar Mikula Beis Shammai and Mechomer Beis Hillel. There are six things that represent Beis Shammai being Mekel and Beis Hillel being Machmer, meaning the normal position is just the opposite. Beis Hillel is normally the Mekel, and Beis Shammai is normally the Machmer. And there are six occasions where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmer. Now it's funny, I usually say over this Mishnah, because this Mishnah comes up a lot in the Daf Yomi, and I say these are the only six. Okay? And now after preparing for today's Daf, I realized I'm not right. In fact, I was wrong. Rashi, in fact, writes over here, I got to remember this Rashi. Rashi writes over here, where's the Rashi? Lav de'ika, right, Rashi is three lines down as the lines become wide. Rashi writes, Lav de'ika hani v'su lo. These aren't the only six times in all of Shas where Beis Shammai is the Mekel and Beis Hillel is the Machmir. De'akati tuva ika, Rashi says, there's more than that. Ela kishenich n'su l'kerem b'yavne, but when they went to the yeshiva of Kerem b'yavne, v'hidu kol echa v'echad ala oso shebiyado, and now they had people step forward and testify. The Maseches Adios had Rav Yehuda al Eilu. So Rav Yehuda only accounts for these six, but says Rashi there is more times throughout Shas where Beit Shammai is going to be Mekel. Good. So next time I say that these are the only six, please do not hesitate to correct me, as there, at least according to Rashi, there is more than these six.
Would the meat, if frozen, also be?
I don't know. Perhaps. So Mikul Beis Shammai Mechomer Beis Hillel. Dam Nevela, so the blood of the carcass of an animal, Beis Shammai Metamen, Beis Hillel Metamen. So Beis Shammai says it's Tahor, and Beis Hillel says that it's Tamei. Am Rav Yossi B'Rav Yehuda Afke Shetumu Beis Hillel Lo Timu Ela B'Dam Sheish Bo Revius Ho V'Yachol L'Krosh V'Lamod Al Kezayis. So, when Beis Hillel is talking about blood being Tamei, now remember, by Nevela, the only thing that's tameh by nevela is the meat of the animal. So Beis Hillel, taking the position that blood of an animal, of a dead animal, is tameh, that's only when you have a revius of blood. And why? So explains Rav Yossi B'Rav Yehuda, because the revius of blood, when congealed, will turn into a kezias. And it's only because it's a kezias of the flesh of an animal, is it going to be tummy? Good. Now, what we have now seen is that we have two Tanayim, Rabbi Nassan here in Shabbos, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, explaining Beis Hillel in Adios, and both basically say that when a liquid turns into a solid, it's a revius to a kezias. And when a solid turns into a liquid, it's a kezias to revius. So in other words, two Tanayim who clearly talk about the conversion of liquid to solid, and both speak specifically to a kezias turning into revius. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, I don't know if I would string these two together, because they're talking about two different liquids. One's talking about wine, and the other's talking about blood. And basically, the Gemara is now going to speak about viscosity, the thickness of each of these liquids. Dilma lo hiad kan lo kamer Rabbi Nassan hacha debay revius ala biyayin. Dekalish, wine is not as thick. The Gemara calls wine kalish. It's a, it runs. It's a very thin liquid. Now, we all know wine is not really thin, not as thin as water. But still, in other words, relative to blood, wine is a very thin viscosity. Avabadam de samich, but wine which is very thick, kezayis lo bai revius. So it could very well be that to yield a kezayis, you don't necessarily need a revius. Inami alkan lo kamer revius reviud asun de kezayis agale be revius. Avabadam de samich avayayin de kalsh kezayis have a yosem revius. And it could very well be that Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda over there in the Mishnah Neidios, could very well be that because blood is so thick, it's such a viscous liquid, so it could very well be that that you need a kezias, sorry, you need a revius of blood in order to convert into a kezias. But what could be that regarding wine, wine which is thinner, so right, you could be that you're going to need more than a revius in order to yield the kezias of wine. So in other words, Baye basically says, look, because we're talking about two different liquids, I wouldn't necessarily say that Rabbi Nosson here in Shabbos and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda there in Adios are necessarily agreeing to one another. Okay? So that is the discussion of whether a revius and a kezias are of the same shear. Chalav kedei gemia. Okay, and the rest of today's daf, not the entirety, but a good part of the remainder of today's daf is going to be a lot of semantic talk. But the good time. The good type of semantic talk. Chalav kedei gemia. Now we talk about milk. Milk is kedei gemia. Ibailu kedei gemia or kedei gemia. Now, what's the correct pronunciation? Is it gemia or is it gemia? Now, did you hear the difference as the two words came out of my mouth? No, you didn't. Because I don't know how to distinguish between an aleph and an ayin. It's an ailment that ails the Ashkenazim. And we don't know the difference. I've quoted this many times before. The Rambam writes, somebody who doesn't know how to distinguish between his aleph and his ayins cannot daven for the amud. That and also my voice prohibit me from davening for the amud. So the but the Gemara wants to know what's the correct way to say it. It was with an aleph or with an ayin. Now, just because our Mishnah has an ayin in it, could be that the gears of the Mishnah is not correct, right? In fact, you look back at the Mishnah and you'll see that the Aruch, when he has our Mishnah, has it with an aleph and not with an ayin. So what's the correct way to do it? With an aleph or with an ayin? And clearly, when the Gemara is asking this question, it means that the Gemara obviously was dealing with different nuschos, meaning some had the nusach of the Mishnah with an aleph and some with an ayin. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so hag mi'ini na ma'at mayim mikadech. So he says, what do you mean? Look at the pasuk in Chayisara, where he asks, Eliezer asks from Rivka, could you give me a little bit of water from your jug? And there, in other words, they knew the Chumash, and then they knew the correct spelling of the Chumash, and there it's with an aleph, so the correct pronunciation is hag mi'ini with an aleph. Ibayelahu. Gar'inim o gar'inim. Again, you don't hear the difference when I say it. One's with an aleph and the other one's with an ayin. So Amar Rav Barula v'nigra mi'erkecha. It's with an ayin. The correct pronunciation is with an ayin. V'nigra mi'erkecha, that means it reduces. Because when you take the pit out, what do? You reduce the volume of of whatever fruit it is. So it's with an ayin. Ibailahu. Omamos o omamos. When you're talking about the dimming of coals, is it with an aleph or with an ayin? I'm Rav Yitzchak bar Abdimi, arazim lo amemuhu began Elokim. Pasuk in Yecheskel talking about the cedars, lo amemuhu, it did not dim. So you see it's with an ayin. Ibailahu, me'amtsintanan o me'amtsin. Shunning of the eyes, is it with an aleph or with an ayin? I'm Rav Chia bar Ava, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ve'otsem einav maros bara. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's with an ayin. Otsem einav. Shutting out the eyes with an ayin. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamosi chalav shal behema kedei gemia. Chalav shal isha veluban shal beitza kedei liten be mishipa shal kilor. The Braisa over here talks about milk, and the Braisa is even more specific than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when you carry milk out on Shabbos, it's enough of a mouthful, a swallow of milk. The Braisa over here says it depends who's producing the milk. If it's milk of an animal, cow's milk, so it's kedei gemia, the amount that a person swallows of milk. But chalav shel isha, but if the milk is manufactured by a woman, okay, mother's milk, or luban shel beitza, or the white of an egg, so kedei litein b'mishipa shel kilor, to put at the tip of an eye applicator, which I'm guessing is going to be significantly less. Kilo kedei lashof mayim, And they were talking about the application in order to rub in the water. By Rav Ashi, k'dei shifa o k'dei achiza v'shifa. Now, when we say the amount for the application, are we talking about the application or also that which stays on the applicator as well? Teku, the Gemara does not know precisely how much water we're talking about. Devash k'dei liten ala kasis. Now, we're talking about honey, so we put honey on the wound. So, tana k'dei liten al pi kasis. And here the Braisa is more specific. In other words, not just on the wound, but on the mouth of the wound, on the opening of the wound. By Rav Ashi, akatit apuma dekula katit odilma amursa kama dekatit. And the Gemara wants to know with even more specificity, is it on the entirety of the mouth of the wound, or is it just on the edge of the wound? La fuke hudrana delo, teku, the Gemara says, I don't know. I don't know how much of the wound we're talking about. I mean, it's also interesting because... correct. I was about to make that point. Meaning, we're not even... The Gemara is assuming that the wound is a standard wound. So, hard to understand how there's just simply a standard wound that we're talking about. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav, Kol Masha Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu Ba'olam Lo Bara Davar Acher Livat La. For everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, so he created something to negate it. So in other words, there's a balance to creation. Bara shavlul lekatit. Bara shavlul lekatit. So the slug is placed on the wound. Okay, it doesn't sound like a right. Rashi says a leech, right? Rashi's kind of referring to the leech. So Rashi says limcha, maybe he's a leech. Anyway, yeah. So the slug for the wound, barazvov letzira. The bug is an excellent antidote for the tzira. In other words, if you get stung by a bee, so what you do is you have a bug. Rashi gives the prescription. You take the bug, you grind it up, and you put it right on the. On the bee bite. Yatush lenachash. Bitten by a snake, so you take a yatush, a gnat, and that is the antidote for the snake bite. Nachash lechafafis. The snake is an excellent antidote for boils. So in other words, if you have boils, so what you do is you take a snake, I guess you grind it up. I'm not, again, don't ask me for, you know, this Eastern medicine. I'm not, maybe the venom. Samamanis la'akrav. Samamanis would be an antidote for the bite of a scorpion. And the Gemara here speaks now more about how to put this little antidote together. Take a white snake, take a black snake, v'shalkilahu, cook it together, v'shayfileh, and apply whatever ointment, whatever compound you yield from that. Tanu Rabbanan Chamishe Emos Hein. There are five unnatural fears. Right, ema means fear. So, but when we're over here describing five fears, it means these are unnatural fears. These are fears that really are not founded. What we would call phobias. Right. So, emas chalash al gibor. Hein emas. I'm sorry. Five emas hein. Emas chalash al gibor. The weak over the strong. On the strong. Emas mavgia l'ari. Apparently the ari, the lion, is very afraid of the mavgia. It's a small animal. Don't ask me, I don't know. Rashi, however, describes that it produces a large sound, and so therefore it scares the lion. Emas yitush al apil. The elephant has an unnatural, an unhealthy fear of the gnat. Rashi describes how the gnat enters into the elephant's nose, and therefore it gets very afraid of the gnat. Ema samamas al ha'akrav, the scorpion is terrified of the samamas. Again, it's a small little insect that basically, you know, even though the scorpion is this very threatening animal, it the samamas puts fear into the akrav. Ema sanunis al hanesher. The Sanunis goes under the wing of the Nesher, and it prohibits it from expanding its wings. So the Nesher is very afraid of this little bug. Amos Kilbus al Lav Yasan. The Lav Yasan is this large aquatic animal. And apparently this Kilbus is a small little insect. And once again, Rashi describes how it goes into the ear of the Lev Yasan, and therefore the Lev Yasan gets afraid of it. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Maikra, Hamavlig, Shod Al Eiz. And the Pasuk here describes how sometimes you'll have the fear of the small animal on the larger animal. Rabbi Zeir Ashkach, Rav Yehuda, Da Avikai, Apitcha, Da Bei Chamua, Vechazia, Duhu, Bedicha, Da Te. Rav Zeir finds Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was standing by the entrance of his father-in-law, and he sees that Rav Yehuda was particularly happy on that particular day. In other words, he felt confident, he felt assured, and he felt that Rav Yehuda could be asked any particular question and give an answer to that question. And the question, the line of questioning went like this. Amalei, my time is easy, mizgan bereisha, v'hadar imre. How come first the goat goes at the head of the pack, followed then by the sheep? I strongly encourage you, by the way, for all these questions and answers that we're about to do, to take a look in the back of the Gemara and take a look at the Maharsha. Because what the Maharsha does with all these questions and answers is that he understands that this is homiletics, this is a Gadata of the Gemara, and encoded in this Agadata are really deeper questions. And the Gemara is not just going over the natural phenomena of this world, meaning this is not National Geographic. This is, the Gemara here is encrypting in this Gemara deeper questions. But for the time being, though, I'm just going to go through the simple pshat of the Gemara. Why does the goat go first and then followed and then by the sheep? Amar le kibriyasa sha'olam debresha chashucha vahadanuura. So he says that it's like the creation of the world where first there's darkness and afterwards there is light, meaning the goat is a darker animal, followed then by the sheep, which is a lighter, it's a white animal. And just like creation, first the Kadosh Baruch Hu created darkness, and then he created light. Just as an example, the Maharsha says over here, this is a discussion of Yavan and Yisrael. Yavan is darkness, and Yisrael is light. Right, you get it, Hanukkah, right, we light the lights on Hanukkah, that's light, that's Yisrael. Okay, anyway, and for all these, the Maharsha does basically that. Why the sheep are covered and the goats are exposed, meaning the sheep's tail goes down and therefore its private areas are covered, but the goat's tail goes up and therefore its private area is uncovered. Hani de mechsin minayu machsin, v'hani de lo machsin minayu maglin. So his answer is, look, what happens with the sheep? The sheep produce wool, and we use it to cover ourselves. So in other words, the product of the sheep is there to cover, so therefore the sheep's privates are covered. The goat, we don't make clothing out of goat. Now, sometimes we do, that's called sackcloth. But that's not normally worn by people, and so therefore the goat's private areas are not covered. My time of Gamal Zutar Ganufte. Why is the tails, why is the camel's tail so short? Mishum da achal kise, because the Gemara says it eats thorns. Or when it eats, it walks through thorn bush, and it does not want its tail to get caught. My time of Tura Aricha Ganufte. The ox has a long tail. Is there a reason for that? Mishum de dari ba agme obaila karkushe. Bake. And the answer he says is because, look, the ox is found within the swamp and it's got to swipe away at all the bugs that come along. My time a karma de kamsa rechiva. Why is it that the karna, we're talking about an ant, right? Rashi says an amala. So, right, Rashi's first shot is that it's talking about a locust. Either way, why are the antennas of the kamsa of the ants so soft? Mishum de dari bechilfa, the Gemara says, because they live in willows, the ikashya nadya, and they need to be flexible. And if not, They're going to break umit avra, and then the locust or the ant is going to get blind. In fact, Shmuel tells us, you want to blind an ant, what do? Lishlufinu lekarne. You rip off the antennas of the ant. Okay, well, let's pause over here. We still got ways to go. Okay, we have a couple more of these that we need to do tomorrow. Again, over the course of today, try to do this. Look at the Marsha on these Gemaras, where the Marsha understands that all these are really deeper questions and deeper answers than what we just see here in the Gemara. Okay, we started the 8th parak of Shabbos today. We talked about carrying on Shabbos, shiurim for various liquids. We spoke about wine. We spoke about birkas hamazon over wine. And then for the rest of today's daf, we went through the correct spelling of various words where the spelling is not that clear. Rabbi Chanan, Menachash, Maharaz, Kashbarach, Lezak, Sofi, Chachir, Vam, Torah, Mitzvah, Shanem, Anay, Chafetz, Manzikol, Yagdil, Torah, Vyadir.